Join the triple threat at the Twin Peaks later today at 2 o'clock in Webster today. It is your chance to come on out there, see Sean, Rich, and Clint Sterner, win an autographed football, Twin Peaks gift cards, and Bud Light cornhole boards as well. That is at the Twin Peaks in Webster, 2 until 6 later today.
It shows that we are Houston strong, we're Houston proud, and are we going to show up on Friday? Yeah! Are we going to win on Friday? Yeah! Are we going to beat Cleveland ass? I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to get that much carried away.
That's Jason Garrett right there.
Yeah.
Sylvester Turner, that's what they should use. They should import Sylvester Turner to give pep talks instead of Jason Garrett. Maybe on Sunday.
Special guest. Better.
You could bring Sylvester Turner into the locker room. And people would be like, who the hell is this guy? And then within 3 minutes, they'd be like, oh, okay, he's much better alternative than Jason Garrett.
I usually hate politicians talking about sports or doing pep rally kind of things, but he is better than Jason Garrett is at that. Let's go right now to the Buyer's Barricades Hotline, brought to you by Trailer Wheel and Frame, your number one source for all of your trailer and towing needs. Game one tomorrow. Lance McCullers on Mad Radio. Hello, Lance.
Guys, what's up?
Lance, how many family members do you have in town?
Currently 5.
Oh,
but
that's
more
not,
to come.
That's not overwhelming at all, I guess, currently. You got more coming in today?
Yes, more coming in, and, you know, it's good, though. You know, playoffs is a special time, so it's fun when you know, a lot of people are here to cheer you on.
Who corrals all the people? Is it Kara? Is it your dad? Like, who keeps people in check?
As far as, like, being on time and that type of stuff.
Yeah, like they take, so you don't have to worry about the logistics of getting your family around.
Oh, no, Kara takes care of all of that. Tickets, you know, getting there, getting everything done. Luckily, we have a last year was super hectic, you know, because we went to the playoffs, obviously, in 15. But last year was a different feel, much different feel. And it was a little bit of adjustment that needed to happen, just as far as, you know, getting used to it and kind of understanding how to get everything to work efficiently. But I think we got it under control now. This is year two, really year two, and with everyone coming and stuff like that. So hopefully we have it under control this time.
I'm guessing you were not thrilled to see the times of the games because you're a noted anti-day games guy. And I'm guessing with, unfortunately, the Red Sox and Yankees, we might be stuck with the day games throughout this series, although we'll see.
Yes, I am on the band of the day game train, but you know now that I'll probably come out of the pen, so my work doesn't start till around 3 o'clock or so. So I can deal with the 1 o'clock, and then the 3 o'clock, the 3:30 start. I'll come in around 5:30 if we're, you know, if things going well. So I think I could pull these one off. I think I'll make it.
I know winning the World Series is obviously the biggest priority in repeating, but how much of a motivator is not losing to Trevor Bauer in this series?
We don't even know if he's going to start yet. I think that they kind of said it's going to depend on his workload out of the pen, but really for us, I think we don't want to lose to him. No, you're right. We don't want to lose to him. He kind of pitched decent against us, pretty well against us the first time around in Cleveland. We scored a couple runs late. But I think overall, you know, Cleveland has a very, very good pitching staff. I think our hitters are excited to kind of be tested against guys who throw the ball as well as they do.
Do you guys feel, you know, you just talked about how having your family around this year, you've already got the drill down. As a team, does it feel in some ways like you're more streamlined going into it because you guys have been through those playoff series and have had that success?
I think it does. Last year we were expected to, you know, win the division and go to the playoffs and be contenders. So, you know, throughout spring training, that was the topic. Throughout the year, that was the topic. But every day we were playing, you know, for the West, and we really didn't have any you know, true experience. You know, we hadn't won the division since I had been here. Really, we hadn't won I don't think we had a division title in maybe 10, 12 years. So that was our whole goal last year. And then we kind of, you know, springboarded from there. But, you know, this year we've kind of been waiting on this the whole time. It's kind of like we just played the season to be ready for October. So it was a different feel this year, kind of going through the season. And now we're finally here. And I feel like the guys are just, got to take a deep breath and are finally like, okay, you know, we can we can really start going now, just because when you're coming off a World Series title and you're retaining mostly everyone and adding guys like Cole and that type of thing, you're expected to do this again. So we kind of got that out of the way, and now we're just ready to play.
Lance, how strange was it for you on Saturday when you came in with the bases loaded?
No, it was okay. You know, I felt fine with it. I got warm much quicker than we had anticipated. I was actually originally supposed to face the guy that I faced second, the guy that was in the hole. But then I told Doug White, our bullpen coach, to call him back and tell him I was ready to go, that I was warm. And Strami had to ask him like three times if he was sure, but I was happy with the way that I felt warming up, and happy with the way that my stuff looked out of the pen. The command was really there, especially the last two outings in Baltimore. So for me, it was more about just getting out there and getting a couple relief appearances under my belt and different situations, which we were good about getting me in. So that was good.
The Indians have quite the dynamic duo in the lineup. We're talking about Francisco Lindor and Jose Ramirez, who have combined for nearly 80 home runs and then 90 doubles and triples between the two of them. What's the difference between those two?
Well, they both present challenges. You know, Ramirez, obviously, I think they both, well, if you look at the home run numbers, not too much different. But typically, Ramirez has been known for a guy to have a little bit more pop, guy that will you know, goes for hitting homers a little bit more often than Lindor. I feel like Lindor kind of takes them when they come. You'll see him get really hot and kind of go on a home run stretch and hit 8 or 9 or 10 in a certain given time. And then other times he'll go kind of I'm not going to say home run slump, but he'll take what he's there. Lindor is a very, very complete hitter, but they both present challenges. They're both, they're similar to Bregman as far as their stature goes, and their swing and miss rate is super low. And so they present challenges because when you do throw them in the zone, they typically hit it and hit it well, and they don't chase a lot. So their whole lineup kind of has that feel. They're a very good team, but I feel like, you know, we handled them pretty well in the regular season, and we're going to make some adjustments and be ready to roll.
Lance, one of the things that's fun about watching you pitch is that you've got an attitude, you know, and you pitch with a certain amount of fire that serves you well. It's not an issue for you. It actually fuels you. I'm guessing that over the course of seven innings, you got to figure out a way to pace some of that. When you're focusing on two innings, does it feel like you can take the seatbelt off a little bit? Does it feel like you can just really just be full bore Lance out there?
Yeah, there's a little bit of you kind of have to play that game a little bit as far as how you're going to approach guys. You know, when you're starting and you're planning on going 90, 95, 100, 105, maybe even 110 pitches in the playoffs, you kind of have to temper, you know, you have to kind of like massage your way into the game as far as what kind of pitches you're making. You have to be mindful of how you're getting guys out the first time around, even the second time around, because if you're expecting to go deep, which all of our starters expect to do, you have to find ways to be creative on ways to get guys out. You can't be getting guys out the same way, throwing the same pitches over and over again when these guys are coming up. That's why you see those numbers third time around, the OPS and the average start to spike, because guys typically fall in a pattern and they get guys out whatever way they feel comfortable and the hitter adjusts. But when you're a reliever, especially in the cases that I'll be in, you don't have to worry about any of that. I just go out there and just put my best foot forward and throw my best stuff, and whatever I feel like is working that day, or whatever the particular batter struggles with, I can kind of try to expose them with that, and then move on to the next guy and not have to worry about his next at bat or his at bat after that impacting my decision making.
Lance McCullers is joining us on the Buyers Barricades Hotline, brought to you by Trailer Wheel and Frame. Lance, we had a debate on the show about an hour or two ago about Yankee Stadium. I made the claim that among ballparks, this is nothing against Minute Maid, just a Yankee Stadium point specifically, I felt like there was something about playing in Yankee Stadium that, even though it's the new place and not the old place where I used to go, there's just something a little bit different about it. And I kind of felt like the A's sort of succumbed to that last night. What do you think about that? Would you agree or disagree with that premise?
I would agree with that. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things that's built up. The Yankees are a storied franchise in MLB history. They're the most successful franchise, and there's something, you know, there's something different about, you know, quote unquote, you know, being a Yankee, or kind of how they're built up, or however you want to say it. But New York Stadium, especially during the playoffs, is definitely something different. The atmosphere is definitely a little bit different. I just think that people kind of look at it and view it in this light that is very difficult to kind of go in there and just treat like any other game, even during the regular season. I remember the first time I was going to pitch there was last year, and 2 weeks before, this is the regular season, this is in May. So 2 weeks before, even in the regular season, people are starting to ask me how I think I'm going to feel my first time pitching in New York Stadium. I'm thinking like, I don't know, I think I'll feel the same. It's a Saturday night 6 o'clock game, and it's May. So, but that's kind of the mystique that's behind it. And I don't know, maybe I watched the game. I thought that I thought the Yankees just came to play, man. I thought they were really prepared. They looked like they really, really wanted it. And these are guys that have been in the postseason many times and kind of know that atmosphere.
Yeah, well, and the biggest thing that you did, Lance, and this is where I don't worry about Yankee Stadium for you, is that because Yankee Stadium snatched your chain in Game 5.
Yes.
And then you came. That was Game 5 when it snatched your chain, right?
In Game 4?
Was it Game 4?
It was Game 4,
yeah. Game 4, yeah. When your chain fell apart on that weird Aaron Judge review situation.
Yes.
And it gave you time to get all the diamonds back. But then you came back in Game 7 and you took back your honor after it snatched your chain.
Yeah, for a while there, especially early this season, I felt like I sacrificed my chain and my curveball during that series. But curveball's back, got a new chain, so we're ready to roll.
Did you know after that game, like, were you certain that you'd gotten every single diamond back in the chain after it fell apart?
No. I sent it back to the jeweler, and he was like, man, you're missing like half of them. And I was like, you know what? Hopefully some of those babies are going to be embedded in the New York Mound forever.
The ground,
that's a good point.
I'm guessing that the grounds crew up there, like somebody's got a new Mustang.
that's
somebody
possible.
Somebody took those. Somebody got those stones.
Lance McCullers.
Yeah, I went out after the game. I went out after the game trying to find them, and I couldn't find any. So we just like scooped up a bunch of them in that cup. Talk about good timing, though. I needed that review, so that was good.
The review is key.
Given all that you guys went through last year, is there a feeling of finally with playing playoff baseball, which I think is just so much different than the regular season, and that's what makes playoff baseball so special?
For sure. That's what I was kind of – I was trying to allude to that a little earlier when I was saying that, you know, when you come into camp and you haven't won an AL West title yet and you haven't really gone deep in the playoffs, and we obviously didn't win a World Series, but that was the expectation. You feel like every game is leading to that, right? You feel like every game is so important. Everyone's so locked in. But when you do win the West, and you do win the World Series, and you kind of have everyone coming back, and you're adding guys like Cole, Rondon, Smith for veteran, you know, presence, and other guys, and you trade for Maldi, you just feel like the regular season, you kind of want to just go by,
right? Like the Super Sim button or something.
Yeah, because you feel like we're just playing for October at this point. Like, we know how this story goes. And that was we fell into a lull in August because I felt like guys were just like, man, I'm ready for the postseason to be here. We just needed to be here. And we kind of had to remind ourselves, hey, only a game up. Kind of got to kick it in here. But like you said, I think everyone's just kind of finally taking a deep breath, and they're like, okay, you know, now we can finally really get to play some baseball we've been expecting to play.
Lance, what's going on this week at PDQ? You've brought in PDQ with us before. It
so
is
good.
Excellent. What's going on?
So this week, you know, during every single ALDS game, if you go into any PDQ location in Bunker Hill, Cinco Ranch, Cypress, and Vintage Park wearing any Astros gear, PDQ will give you 3 free tenders with any purchase. So kind of a little celebration for the Astros in the postseason. Just going into PDQ on any game day, wear your Astros gear, and you're going to get 3 free tenders with any other purchase.
So that's going to be Friday, Saturday, Monday, and then on into that as well. So PDQ, check that out. Lance, we will chat next week. Good luck this weekend. Thank you.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Lance McCullers, brought to you by Trailer, Wheel, and Frame.
I eagerly await the people that are going to try to, there's somebody on their way to PDQ right now. Well, I guess not. Are they open for breakfast? If they're open anyway, somebody's going to be wearing a white T-shirt and just try to draw an Astros symbol on it or something to get their three free chicken tenders. Do it. Take a picture of yourself and send it to us. We'll give you nothing except fame.
Followers.
Fame is
perhaps
valuable.
5 or 10.
The PDQ and the KD Freeway opens at 10:30.
Okay,
so
there you go.
So check that out.
You've got time to go get your Astros gear.
Again, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and on through the ALDS.
Oh, that's right. Game days only. Okay.
Yes, game days. Lance McCullers brought to you by Trailer, Wheel, and Frame. We have mad takes on the way. Your dogs are not as smart as you may think.
What?
I know.
Dog hater.
Plus, giveaway. Alice Cooper tickets, 9.
You will be smart if you go to 4hymns.com, use our code MADRADIO, and you, my friends, are in for a treat. What's that treat? You get to keep your hair. Look, if you're 20, 30 years old and you've got hair loss in your family, you might be losing your hair already before you even know it. It starts before it's really visible to everybody else, especially on top of your head.
Yes.
Go to 4hymns.com. Take care of it right now because there's a whole lot you can do when you stop the process before it even really begins, when you get medically proven solutions from 4hymns.com. Mike and I both do it. It's awesome.
No waiting room. You don't have to worry about the awkward in-person visit with a doctor answering a million questions. It's a really simple process. Exactly. Just answer a few questions. You'll get the email. You'll get the text. You go back and forth, and they will choose the right solution for you. And you guys get a trial month of Hims for only $5 today, right now. See website for full details. It would cost you hundreds of dollars if you went to the pharmacy or the doctor. 4hymns.com/MADRADIO. FORHIMS.com/MADRADIO. 4hymns.com/MADRADIO.
Last load still causing delays on 225 westbound at State Highway 134 on the feeder lane and also affecting that exit ramp. A couple of stalled vehicles sitting on the Gulf Freeway, one southbound at Spur 5, the other one northbound at Cullinan, and 288 northbound at Yellowstone. There's a heavy truck stall on the right shoulder. Cloudy this afternoon with a high of 90, 79 degrees right now. From the TexanRoofing.com weather desk, Amelia Escobar, Sports Radio 610.
Texans game day coming up on Sunday. Sunday night football, the marquee game of the weekend in the National Football League. The Texans and the Cowboys pregame show starts at 4:20 with Sean and myself.
Wait a second. What is this? The actual running down the road trying to loosen my load? This isn't the actual song, though.
Sounds
is
like
it?
The karaoke version.
We're not allowed to comment on bumpers. F.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Yes. Email was sent out. We are not allowed to comment on the music.
Oh, we're not?
Not allowed to comment.
Oh, we're not?
I'm being facetious.
Oh, okay.
But an email was sent.
Okay.
An email was sent about commentary regarding bumpers.
Oh. What are we now? Did I miss that?
Maybe.
I saw that we were doing... Okay.
Check the email.
Are we not supposed to talk about specific songs or just about the bumper policy in general?
I think we're not supposed to. If we are critical of the music entering the program, we are not supposed to comment.
Oh, with Ryan getting a lot of emails from Pantera, boo-hoo. They still suck. This person keeps texting in, hey, two of the people in the band are dead. That doesn't make their music any better.
Wait, are you supposed to respect Pantera because two people are dead?
Yeah, get out of here.
Benedict Arnold is dead. Am I supposed to take it easy on him? What the hell?
I'm sorry that I do not... Hey! Pantera.
All right. If all I had to do was die to avoid criticism, I'd have been dead 7 years ago. Jeez.
Quick note. This just came down. J.J. Watt was named the AFC Defensive Player of the Month. For the month of September, it is number six. Sixth career Player of the Month award.
What was Clowney? Clowney was AFC Defensive Player of the Week.
Defensive Player of the Week.
Look at that. Yes. Everything's awesome. They just got to have nine other guys show up on Sunday.
Other guys who have won this award for the Texans: Marcus Coleman, Connor Barwin, Whitney Merciless, and Quentin Demps.
Marcus Coleman got AFC Defensive Player of the Month. Yeah, he had a stretch where
September
he had
some 03.
Boy. September of 03. Oh, yeah, because those guys, him and Aaron Glenn, were both really good that month. Injuries took their toll.
I watched Marcus growing up with the Jets, and I always felt like Marcus had just tremendous physical ability. I mean, the guy's a monster. He's like 6'2 or whatever. Like,
no, he's a big dude.
He's a big
guy.
Like,
you could see him almost like being a, like, he could bulk up to Jason Taylor size almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, imagine him as like Marcus Coleman as a defensive end. He's coaching, by the way. He's coaching an indoor, an arena. Is it an arena league team or an indoor
team? That's good.
It's I can't remember what league it is.
Quentin Demps won it. That's a shocker to me. Guess who won the NFC Defensive Player of the Month?
Ah,
John Gruden's going to be thrilled about this one.
Mr. Mack.
Khalil Mack.
Strip sack in every game. Boy, it's hard to find pass rushers.
Really? I guess so.
I love watching
Michael Lombardi had a really good piece about... We talked about this yesterday, didn't we?
We talked
off-air or on-air about John Gruden?
Whatever, we bring it up again.
It was that John Gruden, in Michael Lombardi's book, he talks about how John Gruden, like, everywhere he was always just convinced that his offensive talent sucked. Like, he was in Philadelphia, and he is a coordinator, and he thought the offensive talent sucked. Then he got to Oakland, and he was like, oh, man, if I had those guys I had in Philadelphia. And then he got to Tampa, and